Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on a Monday. Hope you all had a fabulous weekend, and we got a whole lot to break down. Super Bowl champ Chris Canty in the house. Good to see you, sir. And for Stephen A.
Thanks for having me in here.
You. Oh, it's going to be plenty of fun.
Super Bowl champ with Big Blue, Molly. With Big Blue.
No question. That's why you got the invite. Max Kellerman and Big Perk with us right now. Perk, you got us?
Yeah, I got you. What's going on? Good morning. I see everybody up there looking good. Looking good on this great Monday morning. How you doing, Max?
All right, let's go, guys. And we're going to start with the Lakers getting a major win finally over the Suns as they try to avoid that play-in tournament. Anthony Davis putting the team on his shoulders, 42-12-5. LeBron still sidelined with a high ankle sprain but could be back this week. Here's AD and head coach Frank Vogel.
I feel good. I'm getting my legs back. I'm getting my rhythm back. Getting my steps back on both ends of the floor. So I feel good. I'm getting better each game, getting my wind back each game. So we're heading in the right direction.
All that other stuff is just trying to patch it together, you know, while we're getting our stars back healthy and with their legs under them and rhythm and timing up to speed. And you see Anthony just getting a little bit stronger every game. A little bit more in rhythm every game, and just a sensational performance by Anthony tonight.
All right, let me break this down for you. So the Lakers are currently seventh in the West, four games left. Knicks, Rockets, Pacers, Pelicans, one game back of the Trailblazers for sixth, but the Blazers on the tiebreaker, so it's really two games. They have a three-game lead on the Warriors, who are in eighth. The Lakers entered yesterday's game with an 82% chance to make the play-in tournament, and that dropped them to 71% after the win. If they want the chances to continue to fall, Anthony Davis is going to have to continue to be the monster he was last night. Max Kellerman, talk to me. When healthy, is AD the best big in the world?
I don't know about that anymore. I don't know. When last seen healthy, he was. But two things have happened since then. Not only did he get hurt, so now we need to see him consistently be what he was, which was the dominating force on both ends of the floor. But another thing happened, too. The other bigs got better. Forget about Giannis, who's, you know, third consecutive year. He's basically doing the same thing that he did when he won the two MVPs, because he really is a big. And AD's a power forward. Giannis is whatever you want to call him. By big, I mean you protect the basket. Right? You do that, you grab the rebounds, and you could be a power forward. If you protect the basket, you're a big. And my point is this. Joel Embiid and Jokic both are clearly better than they've ever been before, and they were already playing on a high level. So first of all, we have to see if AD can get back consistently to being AD. And then we need to see if that AD is still better than this Embiid, who's been... Embiid, game for game, has been the best player in the league this year. He's been the best both ends of the floor, game for game, but he's been hurt. And Jokic about to win the MVP because he hasn't missed the games. And overall, he's been the best player in the league because he hasn't missed those games. Is AD still better than that? That's what we need to find out.
Yeah, here's typical Max. He's going to deflect. He's not going to answer the question directly. It's about whether or not Anthony Davis is the best big man when he's healthy. And the answer is he is. And you have to look back to what he did last year, not only what he did in the bubble during the regular season. You're talking about a guy that's top five in terms of PER. You're talking about a guy that's first-team All-NBA defense, first-team All-NBA, period. Like, this guy, the way he impacts the game, he put it on display last night against a team that's second in the Western Conference in the Phoenix Suns. You saw him with the back-to-the-basket moves. You saw him with the mid-range game. He was even hanging out as that kid in the corner, knocking him down from deep. And then you saw what he did on the defensive end. You saw that block that he had against Jay Crowder. He's showing you that he's starting to feel like himself. And when it comes to Anthony Davis, it's not just about the statistics in terms of quantifying his impact on his team winning games. It goes beyond that. Anthony Davis just showed you last year what he's capable of, what he's playing, and he showed it again last night. He's taking that mantle on himself. He knows they got four games to go. They probably need to go 4-0, and they need the Portland Trailblazers to stumble if they want to avoid the play-in. But you're seeing him clearly tick it up a notch, and I think that's indicative of players that are truly great, and Anthony Davis is that guy. I think he's still the best big in the NBA when he's healthy.
Okay, Canty, don't you body Max like that. Zip him up. That's what he just did. He zipped you up. And he's right. Look, Max, The question was, when healthy? When you look at what Anthony Davis does when he's healthy, we're talking about historical numbers like Shaq and Wilt. Anthony Davis is one of one, okay, Max? He's probably going to go down as the most skilled big ever, right under Hakeem Olajuwon or above him, especially at the power forward position. He can put it on the floor. He has great handle. He has great mid-range. He got great post work. He got great step back, fadeaways, off of, turnarounds off of each shoulder. And on the defensive end, Canty just said it. He impacts the game better than any other big in the game today. We're talking about the block on Jay Crowder. Look at, go back and look at the Denver Nuggets game. The game-winning block that he stretched out when he was already in the paint and had to extend. Like, he impacts the game so much. And when you talk about Jokic and Embiid, they are having phenomenal years. But when you look at Anthony Davis, he just separates himself for his athleticism, the way he is able to play the four and the five, the way that he's able to be a lob threat at the basket. And I get it. You may say Jokic is a better passer, and he might be, but he's in a different system. Well, the system has to be around Jokic, where Jokic has to be the playmaker. So, yes, when healthy, Anthony Davis is the best big man in the game. Look, and he proved that to us last year, and he's starting to show that to us right now.
How many guys are ahead of AD? Is it just the Joker?
He has to prove he's better than is Jokic, which he did in the playoffs last year. Yep. Jokic is a one-way player. AD is a two-way player. And Embiid. Embiid's team is sitting pretty in the East, even though he's missed those games. And partly it's because he has been arguably the defensive player of the year. Like, he's in the conversation. And offensively, on a per-game basis, you could argue he's also the player. Like, if you're best on both ends of the floor,
MVP.
Who's better than you? So it's not just that AD has to get back. It's that now he has to clear a bar that is higher. Now, you guys can talk about, like, all I heard in those arguments is you guys just asserting, no, we think AD is better. Well, why would that be if the bar has been raised? First of all, passing, AD can pass. Jokic is some next-level passer. And shooting, he deserves credit, AD, for stepping up his shooting game in the playoffs last year. But he's never shot the ball like that. That was like, he has to show he can do that again. That's not, when you think AD, you don't think he can shoot from the outside like that. That's not how he's done it traditionally throughout his career. He was killing him from three. He doesn't do that normally. He's got, like, are you sure that that's AD? Because he did it one season in the bubble. He's got to do that again. We know Jokic can bomb from the outside.
Go ahead, Cannon.
A player shows me that they're doing it at the most important moments, which is the postseason, I'm going to go ahead and assign that to them. Like, I'm going to believe what AD showed me in the bubble. That's when the stakes are at the highest. Like, he's proven that he can be a player of that caliber at the most important time for his team. Have we seen that from Jokic yet? We're still waiting on that. I know it's some gaudy numbers. I know he leads his team in points, rebounds, and assists. All of that is well and good. But what happens when it matters the most? What happens once we get to the postseason?
Pretty good last year.
From what we saw from AD last year, being able to be a defensive anchor for that team, and Max, you talked about it, being on the defensive end, what he does as a player matters in this conversation as well. Like, I don't know how you can say when he's healthy that he's not the best big in the game.
And Ken, you just pulled a Max Kellerman on Max Kellerman because he's the one that always always come on here talking about how the regular season really don't matter, how the playoffs is when it matters. And you are the number one guy that always try to hold guys accountable for what they do in the playoffs. When it matters the most. That's your favorite line. When it matters the most. Well, Candy just addressed it. In the championship, a championship, he delivered a ring when it mattered the most against Portland, when it mattered the most against Denver, against the Rockets, against Bam and Miami Heat, them goons from Dade County. When it mattered the most, Anthony Davis delivered in great fashion. And again, go check the numbers because, Max, you are analytics guy, you're a numbers guy. His numbers were right there with Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I'm not arguing against Anthony Davis's greatness, and he has come through when it matters the most. But when you're a guy who's getting extra credit for that against guys who have now raised the bar and are playing better than they've ever played before, we're in a golden era of bigs. People just don't realize it because they don't play the way bigs used to play all the time. But Giannis, the Joker, and Embiid, Giannis is playing like he's always been playing. The Joker and Embiid have upped their game. Now you got to clear that bar. And when you get extra credit for the playoffs, you better do it in the playoffs. For example, I was giving Kawhi that extra credit, which he deserved and earned, and then he came up small in Game 7 against Denver. You got
to. We'll get to Kawhi later. All right, last word. Then I want to get to the Knicks.
Yep. No, Molly, I want you to bring something up for me real quick. You remember when we had a list last week? And I put Joel Embiid and Jokic on my most terrifying players in the game. And you remember how Max was killing me about, it's not a big man game no more. It's a guard-driven league. This is a wing-driven league. And then he comes back today, and it's a completely different story. Now he's just praising Jokic.
Let me explain this to you. I know the way you see the world, it's either good, bad, yes, no, but it is possible to say that these dudes have raised the bar and are still not the most
Max lives in the gray. Perk, you and I are in black and white. Max is in the gray. Let's keep it rolling because the Knicks, y'all, might be the biggest surprise of this season. Stephen A. will tell you, 13-3 since April 9th, best record in the league over that span. Last night, they took down the Clippers, one of the favorites in the West in L.A. New York has the same record as the Lakers, fourth in the East. Julius Randle making a case for MVP. The Knicks taking the league by storm this year. Here is why. Let's go. Julius Randle has been averaging a career high in points per game, rebounds per game, and assists per game. He's one of five players in the league averaging 20, 10, and 5, along with Giannis, the Joker, Russell Westbrook, and Sabonis. They've been locked in on defense. They ranked fourth in the league in defensive efficiency, on pace to have their best mark in the last five seasons. They're holding opponents to the lowest field goal percentage in the league. Derrick Rose, all about the Roses, traded to the team midseason, reuniting with his former coach, Tibbs. Over his last 10 games, he's averaging 19 points per game, shooting 60% from the field. The Knicks are back. Chris, is the Knicks season a failure if they do not get a playoff win with how they've been playing?
No, the Knicks season isn't a failure if they don't get a playoff win. I mean, it's disappointing if they don't get past the first series, especially if they have that 4-5 matchup with the Atlanta Hawks. But it's not a failure. The Knicks are ahead of schedule with this new program under Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau. It is. I mean, they were projected coming into this season to be right around 22, 23 wins, and we said it would be a good season preseason if they were flirting with 30 wins. You're talking about a team now that has the possibility of getting 40 wins. So, no, it's not a failure. It would be a disappointment if they can't get out of the first round. But, Molly, I mean, when you look at this Knicks team, this is a fun team to watch.
No question.
The improvement that they've made throughout the season. We thought they would get a lot of teams early in the regular season just because some of those playoff teams that were in the bubble, they would be a little, you know, slow to recover because we understand it was a year unlike any other. But, I mean, the second half, it was supposed to be the Knicks taking a downturn, and this team has ratcheted it up a notch. Not only is it on the defensive end with their intensity, but how this team has had that improvement on the offensive end. One of the things that's been most impressive about it is the fact that their three-point shooting has had a drastic turnaround. You're talking about a team that's top five in three-point percentage now. If you couple that with the way that this team plays defense, you understand why they're where they're at right now. And so it's one of the best stories in basketball. So, no, to me, even if they don't get out of the first round, it's not a failed season. Yeah. It's a disappointment.
Max, I meant playoff series win, not playoff win. I want to make sure you guys know that. Not just one game.
Everything you just said is true, Chris. Everything you just said is true. If you asked me before the season started, I'd be like, yo, if the Knicks get to the playoffs, this sorry bunch get to the playoffs, that's a huge success. But we're not in the beginning of the season anymore. And expectations have reset. If you can win 11 out of 12 games, you know, you should be able to take a best of seven from a team like the Hawks. And whether people want to admit it or not, if they lost to Atlanta in the first round, yeah, it would be disappointing. If at this point, not at that point, preseason, you're right, we are not in the preseason. At this point, if you're talking about what is a success, it's not going out, winning a game or two, letting the other team know you were there. It's beating the Atlanta Hawks. They just beat the Clippers. They won 11 of 12 at one point. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. You know why they're shooting it better now? They play unselfishly. They stay connected both ends of the floor. Thibodeau's done an amazing job. Julius Randle's a top five MVP. All those things are true. Derrick Rose, sixth man of the year candidate. All those things are true. I take my hat off to them. But because they're true, You got to beat Atlanta in the first round now. You got to beat Atlanta in the first round. Don't sit there and tell me it's a success if you lose to Atlanta in the first round right now if you're the Knicks.
Max, you are really tripping today. You are really, really tripping. And it doesn't make any sense because for the simple fact that no one even expected the Knicks to even be here. And don't discredit or try to discount and say, oh, we're here now, so now we're going to set the bar even higher. No, that's not how it works. Like, they had to work and grind their way all throughout this season to get to this point, to make the postseason. We're talking about an organization, a franchise that we haven't been able to say nothing good about for over a decade, Max. And here they are, right? A young stud in R.J. Barrett, who's starting to improve and starting to show us a glimpse of why he was the number two pick. You have Nerlens Noel, who's anchoring the defense. They're playing inspiring basketball. Julius Randle. Tom Thibodeau has brought the culture back. World Wide West. And when you hear other guys around the NBA speak out about the New York Knicks like LeBron James and all the other players that have said that this team is good and it's great for basketball that the Knicks are playing this way. They have exceeded expectations. I don't care if they get swept, Max. I don't care if they get swept in the first round. No one would say that this season is a disappointment. They could get swept by the Atlanta Hawks, and no one should open their mouth and say a damn word.
Pardon me, gentlemen, but if I were to ask you the same question about the Phoenix Suns, who also have not been relevant in forever, who also had a bad owner who made bad decisions and was a poorly run franchise, who also did not make the playoffs last year, what would you say? Are they allowed to lose a first-round series and call the season a success?
Yeah, if they lose to the Los Angeles Lakers, I think everybody around basketball would understand that the Lakers went healthy.
What if they're not playing the Lakers? If they're not playing the Lakers?
Well, here's the thing. I think context matters. Who their opponent is matters. But when we're looking at the New York Knicks, we're saying, okay, if they're scheduled to play who they're going to play based
Atlanta.
On the current standings, which is the Atlanta Hawks, we're saying that, yeah, it would be a disappointment, but we're not going to say that it's a failed season. I don't think you can.
So what would you say about Phoenix if they weren't playing the Lakers in the first round? At this point, you guys are going to front and pretend? You wouldn't
Max,
say, yeah,
Max,
that's disappointing? Phoenix
Max,
went out in the first round?
Max, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. No one expected the Phoenix Suns to be a contender. I expected them to be a top five team in the Western Conference, but I didn't think they was going to be a title contender. But they have set the bar. They have come out.
They reset the bar, you mean?
Listen, they have come out publicly and said that they have aspirations on winning the championship. So
what do you think the Knicks' aspirations are, to go out in the first round?
Max, listen to what I'm trying to tell you, man. It is different circumstances. When you look at a guy like CP3 and why he chose to go to the Phoenix Suns, CP3 is towards the end of his career. What do he need to accomplish? He needs to accomplish winning the championship. You think he just went over there to the Phoenix Suns just for the hell of it, Max? No, he went over there because he saw
All
something.
Right, let me get in here.
Very well, the expectations are reset. Same with the Knicks.
Max, I'll come back to you. Do you think the Knicks are the biggest story this season? Is part of the reason why? Because they aren't a super team.
I do. I think the Knicks are a terrific story. You know how I feel about Dolan. I jumped ship from the Knicks, moved out to L.A., and was afternoon drive basically for the Lakers on the ESPN.
Are you gonna come back home?
No, not until Dolan sells the team.
Okay.
Nope. This isn't. I'll give
personal.
Them this. Let me just say this. This isn't. I'm not gonna pretend. Unlike you two, Chris and Kendrick, I'm not gonna front and pretend that they're not easy to root for. This is an easy team to root for. They got scrappers on this team. They have dudes who play together, play for each other, both ends of the floor, and they're fun to watch. All those things are true. That doesn't mean I'm going to become a Knicks fan. No, I'm not coming back. No.
Biggest story of the season, Chris?
Yeah, that's the biggest story of the season. I mean, what Tibbs has done in terms of getting this organization pointed in the right direction after so many have tried and failed for the better part of this decade is nothing short of amazing. And so you have to give credit where credit is due. I mean, Tibbs, it should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. And so I think it's an awesome story, especially when you consider that this team outside of Julius Randle is not a team that's overly talented. So the fact that they were able to get it pointed in the right direction, knowing that from a talent perspective, they're lacking in terms of when you compare them to the other playoff teams. I think you got to show a little bit of appreciation for it. I'm a Lakers fan, but I make it a point to watch every Knicks game just because it's a fun team.
Kirk, do you love them more because they're not a super team?
I do. I do. And you know why, Molly? Because here it is. The Knicks have been, you know, trying to land a superstar, right? They couldn't land KD and Kyrie Irving in the free agency about a year and a half ago, right? And then all of a sudden, we're like, what's next for the Knicks? They need to make a trade. They need to get a Devin Booker. No, they stood pat. They drafted R.J. Barrett. They'd already traded for Julius Randle. They add a few pieces. Tom Thibodeau comes, a defensive-minded coach. He goes out and gets two of his vets from the Chicago Bulls days, Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson. They're playing meaningful minutes right now. You have a rookie in Quickley who was drafted there, a Nerlens Noel, who's the guy that is playing right now like with a chip on his shoulder because he's been counted out time and time again. So I love the direction, and they are the best story in basketball, Molly.
After all is said and done, the issue is James Dolan, after all these different regimes, they all promised change. Leon Rose, World Wide West, Tom Thibodeau, and then I have to say Julius Randle and Derrick Rose. Those five characters are on the national consciousness now. People are paying attention around the country who follow the NBA because they have changed the fortunes of a Marvin franchise. No doubt about it.
In all respect, because they're doing it the old school way.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Jets rookie camp underway. Head coach Robert Saleh has his hands full. 10-person draft class along with 12 undrafted signees plus a handful of weekend tryout performers. Saleh said the new quarterback drafted 2 overall, Zach Wilson, did a really nice job day one. But Zach, how are you feeling?
My focus is to learn the offense, keep getting better every single day, you know, do what I can with the guys around me. And I think the rest takes care of itself. You know, in this position, the coaches want to play the best player, and that position's got to be earned. You know, I got to go in there and I got to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, that'll take care of itself.
He's saying all the right things. Wilson, one of 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Among them, only Justin Fields was taken by a team that made the playoffs last season in the Chicago Bears. Let's bring another Super Bowl champ to the conversation. Why don't we? RC, there he is. How we doing, Ryan?
Doing good. Happy to be with y'all on this Monday.
Yes, likewise. Max, who will be the first-round quarterback to start a playoff game?
All right, I've done a lot of thinking about this.
Oh, boy.
Had Trey Lance because Garoppolo could get hurt, and they're really good. But the more I think about it, I got to say, I think it's going to be Justin Fields. I think he has the best shot. And let me tell you why. They go through, like, Zach Wilson, and that's a tough division. The Jets aren't good. Trevor Lawrence, the Jags aren't good. I'll leave Trey Lance to you guys. Mac Jones is a rookie quarterback. Bill Belichick loves rookie. And plus, you got to beat out Cam. People just sleeping on Cam.
Get to your guy.
Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. Let me say something. Chicago Bears were in the playoffs a couple years ago. They haven't had a losing season for a minute. They have a lot of talent on the defense. And what has really been the problem recently? I'm not so enamored with the NFC North. We'll even see if Aaron Rodgers is going to be in Green Bay. He might not even be on the Packers. I'm not looking at the Vikings or the Lions like they're world beaters. The problem with the Bears has been the offensive line. they can't protect the quarterback. So you know what you had? You had two dudes on the roster. You had Nick Foles, who could throw the ball accurately down the field if you give him a pocket to step up into, which they didn't. He was on the run for his life, and he can't run. Bad combination. And you had Mitch Trubisky, who could run like hell, but that's about it. Couldn't throw the ball accurately down the field, right? Well, in Justin Fields, who, to quote my guy, Roy Jones from back in the day, y'all must have forgot, Justin Fields came out of high school along with Trevor Lawrence, 1A, 1B, however you want to say it, valued prospect, right? What did he do in college to cool people off to him? He was awesome. So he can throw the ball accurately down the field, and he can move. If you're talking about a Bears team that doesn't get below 500 because of that defense, which they haven't been recently, and you put a quarterback in there that combines the qualities of the last two guys they had, he can move and throw it accurately down the field in a division that's, especially if Rodgers isn't in it, underwhelming. He's got to beat out Andy Dalton by the end of the year. Yeah, I think he can do that. I'm going with Justin Fields.
Max, you're wrong, and you probably should have followed your first instinct because the answer is Trey Lance. It is. I think Trey Lance is going to the best situation out of the quarterbacks that were taken in the first round this year. Look at the organization. He's going to Kyle Shanahan, who was one of the brightest offensive minds in today's game. You look at the structure. You look at the stability. John Lynch is entrenched as their general manager. I just feel like the pieces are in place for Trey Lance to really have a great season. I think it's just a matter of time before he ends up playing in 2021. I understand that there's some ambiguity around the Jimmy Garoppolo situation, but I don't expect Jimmy Garoppolo to start the lion's share of games in San Francisco. It's going to be Trey Lance, and here's why. Trey Lance, throughout the pre-draft process, was heralded as one of the quarterbacks that had the highest football IQ, one of the guys that was the most pro-ready based on what they asked him to do out in North Dakota State, being able to understand and operate the operation, being able to get his team in and out of the huddle, to the line of scrimmage, making all the checks, all of those things. That matters when it comes to trying to have success in the National Football League as a rookie quarterback. There's always a learning curve that comes along with playing in the NFL, especially at that position. And because Trey Lance is one of the brightest minds in this year's draft, coupled with the fact that he does have the supporting cast on the offensive side of the ball, that offensive line, the skill position players, and, of course, the head coach to orchestrate it all, he's the guy that's going to have the best chance to start a playoff game out of this rookie class.
Man, see, I needed, like, another non-football guy on the show because it's no fun for us to come here and be doubly right against Max. Like, I don't want to do that to Max because I know he's going to look at the analytics and he's going to call Warren. He's going to call Warren Sharp and text him and see what the numbers say and do all these different things to come up with his answer. Now, I, like Max, initially went Mac Jones. I actually sent that over as my answer. And then I started thinking, like, golly, yeah, the Patriots might be good, but what about Miami? And then I was like, obviously the Buffalo Bills. And will Mac Jones even start? And do I even think Mac Jones is good enough to lead a team to the playoffs this year? And all those things came to know. So then I had to go to a different quarterback. And I actually liked the Justin Fields answer that Max gave earlier, because when you think about Justin Fields, his talent, the fact that Chicago went last year, but Trey Lance is in the best situation. This offense is ready-made to explode. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Mostert in the backfield, Trent Williams at the left tackle, who we talk about transcendent talents. He's the second. Nope, I'm wrong. I'm about to tell a lie. He's the third most talented football player I've ever played with. Number one is Sean Taylor. Number two is Troy Polamalu. The third most talented football player I've ever been on the football field with. That's who Trent Williams is. And so when you think about all these things offensively and now getting healthy on the defensive side of the football, Jason Verrett ascending and rebuilding his career at one corner, Mosley, obviously two safeties in Tart and Jaworski that can play. And so now you look at all these different guys and Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan has been waiting on this piece. And I know Jed York came out last week. If Trey doesn't play until he's 23, we're fine and we get a 15-year starter. That's a lie. You didn't move up to get a certain quarterback. You moved up so you didn't have Jimmy G anymore. And so whether you got to bring Trey along slowly to game five, then that's what it is. But when you get a guy in who, like Chris said, is brilliant, right? They were trying to talk themselves into Mac Jones because they didn't want Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, he's so smart, and he can do all these things with the progression.
That's when you know
like
you're
Mac
in trouble.
Says, he can process like a computer. But what happened was they realized Trey Lance was just as smart or smarter. They realized he was also brilliant, that he could also retain and regurgitate information, that you could give him whatever you had to give him at the line of scrimmage, and he could change it and get you into the right play.
Yeah,
now
but
you
Ryan,
add
here's
the cannon
problem.
Arm. Now you add the big body. What's up? Tell me,
here's
tell
the,
me
problem.
The problem then, man.
Here's the problem.
What the numbers say?
If you look at, forget about the numbers. This is what, by the way, statistics are records of events. You could pretend they didn't happen, but like, let me give you a stat of one of one, all right? The most successful story of a young quarterback coming into the league in recent years, maybe since Dan Marino, is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, they had a guy in Alex Smith who they liked. He's solid. He's good. But maybe not good enough to get you over the top. Patrick Mahomes didn't start one game his rookie year. One game. Then the next year came as close as you want to come to winning the Super Bowl. A pre-snap penalty gave Tom Brady the ball back, or else I think they'd have beaten him and beaten the Rams, but that's not what happened. And that's Patrick Mahomes. I don't know that Trey Lance is ever going to be Patrick Mahomes, other than Aaron Rodgers, who has ever been Patrick Mahomes. The odds are slim. So you mean to tell me the Niners, who when last healthy were in the Super Bowl, one pass away, a Jimmy Garoppolo pass away from winning the Super Bowl, beating Mahomes. He didn't hit it that time. Maybe he hits it next time. You mean to tell me that team with Super Bowl aspirations right now is going to tell a rookie quarterback, it's never been done before, here, win us the Super Bowl? No, I don't see it. And I'll tell you something else I don't see. The same thing with Mac Jones, because I also believe the Patriots have Super Bowl aspirations. It's an issue of where you see yourself. The Jags and the Jets, they ain't making the playoffs, right? The Bears are the most interesting one to me, because if you're the Bears right now, realistically, your aspirations to start the season is let's make the playoffs, right? And by then, who do I think will be starting? Justin Fields.
Here's the thing. If you're the Bears, your aspirations are don't lose my job. The only way to not lose your job is for Justin Fields to play and show some promise. That's who the Bears are if you're Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Everything you said about Jimmy Garoppolo is true, right? But the reason they got to the Super Bowl wasn't Jimmy Garoppolo. You could give me the numbers about how much more they win with him than other quarterbacks.
It
All
didn't
of that
stop
stuff
them
is
from
true.
Getting there.
But they moved up. They moved up because
Long-term,
he's not the
Ryan.
One.
Long-term, because Garoppolo's unreliable in terms of his health, and he has
we
a limit
go.
To his
Chris,
upside.
You, Chris,
long-term.
You, talk some sense. You got the final word here.
Well, here's where Max is wrong. He's talking about Jimmy Garoppolo being their guy. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, outside of the 2019 season, hasn't had a stretch of games, more than five games played, ever in his career. So I don't know that you can depend on Jimmy Garoppolo to be there. The best ability is availability. So at some point, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to give way to Trey Lance. And it's not just about winning in 2021. It's about being able to win while you got Trey Lance on his rookie deal, because the most valuable commodity in the NFL is a quarterback on a rookie contract that's your starter.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah, go ahead.
RC, you heard Max. Statistics, records of events. So you remember that. You keep that in your back pocket, sir. You use that on all your other shows, all right? Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take on a Monday. Quick Takes, let's go. Max, Celtics are in real danger of falling into the play-in tournament. How much of this is on Brad Stevens?
Some of it, but not as much, I think, as being portrayed by some. Look, the fact of the matter is COVID protocol has meant disruptions in the lineup. Obviously, Kemba Walker's injury. Gordon Hayward's passing in the starting lineup isn't there anymore. He was more valuable than people realized. I find it hard to point to a coach who has lived in the Eastern Conference Finals in recent years, the 1 year that they stumble. Let's see what happens going forward.
Chris Canty, you're up. Luka Doncic ejected with a flagrant 2 last night. Doesn't count towards his 15 total texts on the season. What did you make of that one on Colin Sexton?
I think Luka Doncic is out of pocket for doing that. I mean, that's a violation. I don't care what sport it is. There's a code amongst players, and clearly Luka violated it right there. And then I didn't care too much for his commentary after the game when he talked about he didn't know what he did. It looked pretty intentional what Luka Doncic was doing to Colin Sexton in that moment. I'm just saying.
Chris, not having it. Max, after dropping to the Knicks, Kawhi admitted he's dealing with a left hand issue. How concerning is this for the Clippers?
You got to be concerned. Like, are the Lakers handling it with LeBron better? Sit him out. Let him get better. Or are the Clippers handling it with Kawhi better? No, have him play through it. Continuity. Time will tell. But I'll tell you this. Kawhi, I expect to show up in the playoffs as he does every year. He had one bad game 7. Otherwise, he's an all-time great playoff performer. Elevates under pressure. Paul George has not. To me, it's still about that. Batman needs his Robin to step up in these playoffs. If he does, the Clippers can get out of the West. If he doesn't, they can't.
More NBA news. The league fined David Griffin $50,000 for detrimental comments, public criticism of officiating. The decision came 2 days after the Pelicans executive vice president of basketball operations spoke out strongly about his concerns over the amount of contact referees allowing New Orleans forward Zion Williamson to endure. Williamson currently out indefinitely with a fractured left index finger. Here's Griffin Friday.
I'm really frustrated because this was avoidable. We told the NBA through every means available to us that the way they were officiating Zion was going to get him injured. And quite frankly, he's injured now because of the open season that there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. He has been absolutely mauled in the paint on a regular basis to the point that other players have said to him, I'm going to keep doing this to you because they don't call it. So there is more violence encouraged in the paint against Zion Williamson than any player I've seen since Shaq. It was egregious and horrific then, and the same is true now.
All right, again, that was Griffin on Friday. NBA champ Kendrick Perkins back on your screen. Perk, I truly believe in mentorship, so I understand you have a message for Zion. Please, go ahead.
Well, first, Molly, let me address David Griffin, okay? And I'm addressing it in my New Orleans voice. God bless his heart, baby, because he don't know no better. And this is a damn shame. This is the reason that guys around, the old school guys, call our league soft because of weak commentary and weak comments like that David Griffin said. Now to Zion. I believe Zion is a future superstar. I believe that Zion is the face of the NBA. But this is what Zion have to realize. People are not going to move out of his way. This is a grown man's league. You know what happened when they start fouling Shaq hard? Shaq got more dominant. He got meaner. He started getting more offensive fouls. He started putting the elbow in people's throats and necks to move them out the way. He got fiercer. He got meaner. That's what Zion has to do. When he's already dominant, he has to get more dominant. Now you got to add a little spice of that red pepper or that crawfish seasoning that they have in New Orleans and get it more juice flowing. Have people afraid of him. That's the advice that need to be said. Not that baloney David Griffin just came up there and said a few days ago.
Max, do you like David Griffin defending Zion and how he did it?
I love it. And while, sure, Kendrick Perkins has played with every superstar in the NBA in the last 10 or 12 years, and sure, Kendrick Perkins has won a championship, I dabbled in NBA 2K, so I think I have plenty of credibility on this subject.
Don't embarrass yourself.
Let me explain something to you. There have been 4 players in league history that combine ridiculous size with ridiculous athletic ability, and the game was called differently against them. Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, and now Zion Williamson. He's a physical freak, and the game is called differently against him. Perk, I'm not arguing against your point. Well, how are you now going to respond to that? I'm saying the guys on your franchise, executives, coaches, teammates, should absolutely have your back in exactly this way. They should step up and point it out. This is no different than what people did in Shaq's day. Or, I mean, it's the same thing. You think Phil Jackson never pointed out publicly that the game is called different for Shaq? Yeah, you want to draw attention to it. Maybe it buys you some calls. Plus, it lets your superstar know, you know, yeah, we got your back. It's not Zion's fault that he's so big, strong, and fast that he can blow through a foul and the refs don't even really see it because it didn't really affect them. It's still a foul, and it should still be called. And if people want to make the same argument they made with Shaq, like, well, then, you know, how are we even going to play the game? That's for you to figure out if Shaq's an unstoppable weapon. That's not for Shaq. That's for you to figure out. Same thing with Zion. I love the fact that Griffin got his back.
Perk, I hate to do this. I hate to do this. But I actually lean into war where Max is at with his argument. I like the fact that David Griffin came out and tried to defend his superstar. I think it's the right thing to do to put a public face on it and say, our organization recognizes there's a discrepancy in how the game is officiated when it comes to our superstar. Now, while I do think that's the right approach to take in front of the cameras, I think behind the scenes, the Pelicans have to be more pragmatic in their approach to keep their superstar healthy. Like, you got to recognize the reality that the game is being officiated with your superstar, and you got to try to figure out a way to keep him out of harm's way to try to mitigate the risk of injury in this situation. You realize because he's so dominant in the paint, there's going to be more contact on him. That's just the nature of it. In football, the closer you get to the line of scrimmage, there's going to be more contact. The same in the NBA when you're in that painted area. So I think the Pelicans have to recognize, hey, we've got to maybe adjust how we're utilizing him, how we're deploying him,
yep,
what we're asking him to do in order to keep him healthy and available to us.
Big Perk,
so I think that's what they got to think about behind the scenes.
Big Perk, you're my guy. I got something for you because you were physical and you know about that contact. So I got a little tape for you. I want to know, how would Zion handle Big Perk?
I'm just saying, and this is the day we played in, right? This is what it is. Like, you got to get physical. This is, look, and Candy, I feel sorry for your loss agreeing with Max Kellerman because you of all people, I expect more because you played in the trenches in football. When you play in the paint, that's called the trenches. Zion initiates a lot of the contact. I used to go to war with Dwight Howard, right? Dwight Howard in Orlando Magic. Dwight Howard was a different Dwight Howard. He was getting Shaq-type treatments. We used to bang bodies down low. We used to deliver hard fouls. Charles Oakley back in the day. Michael Jordan took hard fouls, took real hard fouls from the Knicks, from Charles Barkley and the Suns to whoever. Like, this is in the trenches. Zion is initiating a lot of this contact. And if you're going to go down there and you're going to bang with the big fellas and you're going to be able to dish it out, you got to be able to take it. No one is going to move out of your way.
Two things, Perk. By your own admission, you had to play that way because you were not blessed with the fast twitchies that Zion Williamson had. How many times did you say you got the whack body? That's not Zion Williamson. So that's your problem and other mere mortals' problems, not Zion's. That's one. But, two, the way games are officiated has changed over the years, like it or not. And the rules changes are constantly in favor of the offense. It's no different in football. You can't breathe on the quarterback. That linebacker in Kansas City had Tom Brady wrapped up a couple years ago. Uh-oh, can't touch him. Brady walked into the end zone. The same thing happens in basketball now. Yeah. It's a much more offense-friendly league. So you don't have to like it. I don't have to like it. But that's the way it is.
Yeah, and Ken, and let me say this, okay, Max? And I'm going to tell you this one time, all right? And don't get it twisted. In the NBA, I played my role. But you don't come straight out of high school and what I call the University of Cash of not dominating, all right? You better check my resume. Texas Basketball Hall of Famer. Broke all Shaquille O'Neal records. McDonald's All-American. Max, don't get it twisted.
Perk, you're an NBA champ.
28-17-9.
Perk, you're an NBA champ. Let me just ask you something. That's the point. You're making the point.
Zion got. I'm talking about the trenches. This don't have nothing to do with skill set. This don't have nothing to do with none of that. We're talking about when you in the trenches and you in the battle and you in the thick of the things, I used to have a one go-to move where I would crab dribble, put my shoulder in somebody and shoot a jump hook. Did I expect everybody to back down from me because I was initiating the contact? No, I wanted the smoke. So you go receive the smoke, Max. I don't want to hear that. Zion lives in the paint. Zion plays physical. He plays in the trenches. The battle is won in the trenches, and no team is going to back down.
Right. Dribble, shoot, brother. Look, here's the bottom line. By your own admission, you were the man, right? But when you get to the NBA, there are levels. And what I'm saying is, even among the freak athletes in the NBA, Zion is in a group of three or four dudes who ever lived that combine that size with that athletic ability.
We got to leave it there. Max, I'm not going to let you call him whack body on our show. Perk, how are you going to let him? Perk, your body is a temple, okay? That's what everyone needs to know at home.
Every time you come on the Max Kellerman show on ESPN Radio, what do you call it?
I got you, Perk.
You know what? I'm not calling it no more.